Luke chapter 10 and verse 30 says, "And Jesus answering said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him and went to him." Not enough just to have compassion on him. "Went to him and bound up his wounds." He wasn't afraid to get his hands dirty. "Pouring in the oil and the wine, and set him on his own beast and brought him to the inn and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said unto him, Take care of him. And whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee." We've all heard the story of the Good Samaritan. I want you to notice something that many of us oftentimes overlook. We hear this story of this man that was stripped down by robbers. They came, took off his raiment. The Bible says they left him half dead. Thank God that he was still alive. And one man comes along and sees this man dead on the ground, bleeding, dying, half dead. He sees him, but goes right past him. This was a priest. In verse 31, when he saw him, he saw this man was in trouble and he needed something. He needed help. How many of us know there's people out there that can't help themselves? They're hurting. They're dying. They're bleeding. Physically, spiritually, mentally, financially. People are hurting and they need help. Folks say, "I want to do something for the Lord." Can I tell you, all you got to do is just look around and do it. Because there's a world that is out there that is bleeding and dying on the Jericho Road. So he passes him by. "And likewise, a Levite," in verse 32, "when he came to the same place, looked on him." He's seen the need of this man also, and passed by him on the other side. "But a certain Samaritan," verse 33, "came where he was, and when he what? Saw him, he had what? Compassion on him." And as we read, the Bible says that he went to the man, he cleaned him up, poured in the oil and the wine. There's much preaching that could be done right there, how we can be used to bring healing to the hurting, to bring healing to the wounded. Didn't Jesus come and he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me and he hath anointed me"? The oil and the wine is a picture of the anointing, the oil of the Holy Ghost that can be poured in to the wounds of humanity and there can begin the healing process. Can I tell you, some folks can't get healed of some wounds without the precious power of God coming and touching their life. Some wounds only God can heal. When you look at people's lives that have been shattered through divorce, only God can heal some of those pains and those wounds. Do you believe that? The Bible says that he came to him, pouring in the oil and the wine, and set him on his own beast, in verse 34, and brought him to the inn, and what? Took care of him. That's a mouthful right there. See, real ministry is not just seeing the need, but it's really meeting the need. When Jesus seen the multitudes, the Bible says, scattered, wandering like sheep, having no shepherd, no real direction, no real sense of where to go in life, the Bible says he was moved with compassion. In other words, it's not just enough to have compassion. Your compassion has to thrust you into being the one that meets the need and does something about the hurt and the pain and the suffering of an individual. True ministry will make you get your hands dirty. Jesus was not afraid to get his hands dirty. But he was a Savior that came down amongst men and he walked amongst us, healing the sick, opening the blinded eyes, setting the captives free. Oh, brothers and sisters, the ministry of Christ, as much can be said this morning, but we can see a picture of this in the Good Samaritan, that Jesus Christ was the one that was willing to take those of us that were half dead, lost, without no hope. Can you be one that can say, that was me? I was lost. I was undone. Family members have rejected me. My friends, my loved ones kicked me to the curb. There was many that looked and said, there's no hope for him. But can I tell you, brothers and sisters, with Jesus, you are somebody. The Bible says he came to his own and his own received him not. Rejection is an awful thing to go through. You ever just felt rejected by those that love you? You ever just felt that rejection? Rejection is a hard thing to get over. The priest passed him by. Aren't you glad Jesus doesn't just pass us by? He took care of him. In verse 35, and on the morrow, he departed. He spent some time cleaning up his wounds, took him on his beast, put him in the inn, cleaned him up, got him settled in. And when he departed, he took out 2 pence. And gave them to the host and said unto him, take care of him. And whatsoever thou what? Spendeth more. When I come again, I will repay thee. I want to leave this thought with you. Are we willing to pay the price to see those that are hurting healed? There's a price to pay in ministry. And it's not always with just money. Ministry takes your time. Ministry separates you from your wife, your children for times. It's called sacrifice. Ministry is something where people like the thought of being up behind the pulpit preaching, but this is ministry, yes, but true ministry is getting your hands dirty. True ministry is when you take the suit off, you roll up your sleeves, and you're willing to get in to people's messy lives. True ministry's the ones that are willing to go on the side of the Jericho Road, where people are bleeding and dying in this world. How many of us have seen people that are in this condition, like this man here that was stripped and left half dead? And they're bleeding and dying, waiting for someone to come to help them. Isn't that what Jesus did for us, brothers and sisters? He came to me. He came to you. When no one else seemed like they cared, aren't you glad that Jesus came to heal the brokenhearted, to set the captives free? I want to leave this in your heart today. Are we willing to pay the price for the souls of men? How many opportunities do we pass by? How many souls do we see walking down the sidewalks? How many of our own brothers and sisters in Christ do we know that are hurting? When you're willing to put your money where your mouth is, see, folks talk about doing a work for God, but it goes no further than talking. They're no better than this priest here or this Levite that passed him by. Oh, well, look at him. He needs this. He needs this. He should do this. He should. Sometimes God will show you the problem and say, you're the one that can fix it. You're the one that can be used as an instrument to heal it. You're the one that can be the remedy for that situation. Are you willing to be the one that will be used by God? Will you be willing to count the cost and say, Lord, here I am, use me, send me, that I can bring healing to the hurting? Sometimes God will place you in a position and show you a need, and you need to be the one that meets that need. Can I tell you, if all of us here would really put forth an effort to reach out to those that are laying on the side of this Jericho Road, bleeding and dying, if we would all have a real burden for the lost and be willing to pay a price to say, whatever it takes, Lord, I'm willing to reach those that are hurting. Listen, this church would be filled to capacity and then some. It's our responsibility to go out into the highways and byways and find the hurting, find the lost, find the dying, find the bleeding, find those that are suffering. Not only just say, oh man, listen, you can help them. Jesus is the answer for the world today. Jesus is that good Samaritan that when nobody else will help, amen. Listen, you are the Christ in this world. Oh, you'll never be Jesus Christ, but Jesus Christ is in you. And brothers and sisters, let not another day or an opportunity pass us by when we see those that are hurting, those that are dying, those that have needles in their arms, those that are snorting drugs and living in adultery and fornication. I don't care if it's a prostitute, a drunkard, an alcoholic. I don't care who it is. We need to be more moved than just with compassion. We need to do something to relieve their hurt and the pain that's in their life. I want to encourage you, are you willing to pay the price to minister to the hurting? Matthew 25 and 35, for I was hungered and you gave me meat. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. Notice, it's easy to see somebody that's thirsty but not get them something to drink. It's easy to see somebody that's hungry and you see the need but you don't do anything about it. I can tell you this right now. I've seen many opportunities pass me by because I was so full of my own self. I was too focused on me. Can I tell you, it's not about us. It's about Him. He did not come to be served, even though He was the King of glory. But He came to be a servant. Can you say amen? He says, I did not come to be served by man, but I came to serve humanity. If you will only grasp that the King of glory, the King of kings, and the Lord of lords came to serve sinful, carnal man. Oh, that's a revelation in itself to understand that thank God that He humbled Himself and came down and served us. Where would we be without Him? I was a stranger and you took me in, verse 36 of Matthew 25, naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when we saw thee and hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink, and when saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee, or when we saw thee, he says, the sick, and when you were in prison, and came unto thee, and the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, insomuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you have done it unto me. You know who Christ came to preach the gospel to? Not to the kings, not to princes. He says, I've come to do what? He says, to heal the brokenhearted, to set the captives free. But then he went on down to say, and to preach the gospel to the poor. You know where the real needs are? It's with the poor folk. Those that have nothing. The Word of God says you got to count the cost. What is it going to cost you? Ministry will cost you your life. Are you listening? See, we think of cost and we relate it to money. But the cost also consists of your time, your physical strength, your mental strength. God will use all your gifts, all your talents. He'll use all of that to help you fulfill the call. But you've got to count the cost. Listen, ministry will cost you most of your life if you're really committed. Are we willing to not only count the cost, but pay the price to reach the lost? Don't pass opportunities by. The Lord has called this church to a ministry of restoration to the lives of men and women. How many would have to admit, without Jesus, your life would not be where it is today? He's who what all of us need. He doesn't just have the answer. He is the answer. Everything we need is in Him. The Bible talks of that work of restoring a man in Galatians 6. If you see a brother taken in a fault, we don't just kick him to the curb and leave him bleeding and dying in the gutter of sin and debauchery and say, oh, look at them. It's good for them. They deserve it. If any man be overtaken in a fault, you that are spiritual, restore. Go get your hands dirty and get into the problems and restore them. Such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also find yourself being tempted and fall into the same. Can I tell you, brothers and sisters, if we can realize that we were like that man that was half dead. And you know how many Christians have gotten taken up out of the gutters of life? And they've come up out of deep sin. God's healed them of deep heartache and pain and misery. And he's established them to be strong Christians. And you see, those that have forgiven of much and been healed of much and been delivered of much, they love much. I realize there's a lost and a hurting and a dying world out there that needs somebody to come and relieve them of their suffering and pain. And we have the answer, and that is the gospel of Jesus Christ. We have that answer. We have hope for the hopeless. Bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if any man think himself to be something when he's nothing, he deceives himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself. For every man shall bear his own burden, but let him that is taught in word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For if we sow to the flesh, we reap corruption, but that soweth to the Spirit shall reap life everlasting. Galatians 6:9, and let us not be weary and well-doing. For in due season, somebody say due season. That's a season we don't talk much about. We talk about the due season. And I tell you, I'm due. How many kept their hand to the plow? They've been sowing. They've been watering. And I'm looking for the increase. I'm looking for my due season. I'm looking for the harvest. I've been laboring. I've been faithful. I've been committed. I've been dedicated. Amen. The due season is a good season. It's a season of receiving. Amen. All that you have sowed to the Spirit. And brothers and sisters, when we're willing to get our hands dirty, put our hands to the plow and really sow love and generosity and kindness and compassion and love and patience into the lives of those that don't even deserve it, but we see an opportunity. That's what the gospel of Jesus Christ is all about. Is it going to the hurting, going to the lost, going to those that are laying on the side of the Jericho road that have no hope? And many of us pass those opportunities by. Let's not be like the Levite and the priest, but let's be like Jesus, the good Samaritan, that will look at somebody that is dying on the side of the road and be willing to go in and get your hands dirty and bring a life that has been broken, amen, and be used by God to restore the brokenness that's in the life of that individual. How many want to be one that is used by God to bring healing to the hurting? Can you say amen? We can give them hope when there seems to be no hope. And I know that one thing about the church and the people here is that we, without a doubt in my heart, I know we have a church that loves to help the hurting. But I want to stir you up by the way of remembrance that it's not about us. It's about them. It's about the harvest. It's about the souls. The Bible says, and what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world but loses his own soul? What will a man give in exchange for his soul? We cannot put a price on a soul. But I can tell you this, Jesus thought so much of the souls of men that he gave his life upon the cross of Calvary and paid the ultimate price. He was the ultimate sacrifice and died for the sins of all of humanity. And I want to put this in your spirit as I close right here. Are we willing to pay the price? I want you to start reaching out to people. Some of you need to bring visitors in. And not all will stay, but you know what? Some stay. And some realize this is my family. This is where God has ordained me to be. I want to challenge you. Let's begin to reach out to the hurting, to the lost, to those that are on that Jericho road. And let's pay the price. And let's be willing to, amen, invest into the souls of men and do all we can to see them saved.